जाए, by the time he died, Jayam Vishnu Pad, Padamahansa, Padi Bajakacharya, Asatarka, Shishi, Manas Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Ananta Kosi, Vaishnava Vrinda, Ki Jai, Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur, Ki Jai, Premshigo, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhunityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivedanta, Ki Jai, Shri Shri Radhashama Sundar, Gopal Gopinath, Shamakund, Radhakund, Giri Govardhan Ki Jai, Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Mathura Dham Ki Jai, Navadvip Dham Ki Jai, Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai, Jagannath Swami Ki Jai, Yamuna Mai Ki Jai, Ganga Mai Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Srimati Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai, Gopremanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasada Vikala Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami. Namaste. Saraswati Devi Gauravani Kacharani Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paskata Desatarana. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Saraswatim Vyasam. Sato Jayam Udirayat. Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavat Yutama Shloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. Before reciting this Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should first offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan. Unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and very importantly, Srila Prabhupada, the translator and commentator. Because if we didn't have the translation and the comments, what would we understand? By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatams and by rendering service unto the pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed in loving service unto the personality of God, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Hare Krishna. Reading today from the first canto, chapter 8, which we're all very familiar now, is the prayers of Queen Kunti. We're on text 35. Bhavesmin klishamananam.
Bhavesmin klishamananam.
Bhavesmin klishamananam. Avidya karma karma bi.
Avidya karma karma
bi. Avidya karma karma bi.
Avidya karma karma bi.
Shravana smaranarhani.
Shravana
smaranarhani. Karishyan iti kechana. Karishan iti kechanan. Bhavesmin klishamananam. Avidya kama karma bi. Shravana smaranarhani. Karishan iti kechanan. Please chant. Bhavesmin klishamananam.
Avidya kama karma bi.
Avidya kama karma bi.
Shravana smaranarhani.
Shravana smaranarhani.
Krishan iti kechanam.
Krishan iti kechanam.
Bhavesmin
Bhaveshnim Krishnananam
Avidya
Shravana Smarana Hari
Kareshyami
Kikeshana. Bhaveshin Krishnamanam Avidya Karma Karma Vi Shravana Smarana Hari Kareshyami Kikeshana. Bhaveshin Krishnamanam Avidya Karma Karma Vi Shravana Smarana Hari Kareshyami Kikeshana. Bhaveshmin Krishmanana Avidya Karma Karma Vi Shravana Smarana Hari Kareshyami Kikeshava.
Bhave,
in the material creation,
Asmin,
this,
Plishyamananam, of those who are suffering from, Avidya,
Nescience,
Kama,
desire,
Karmabhi,
the execution of fruitive work.
Shravana,
hearing.
Smarana,
remembering.
Arhani,
worshipping.
Karishan, may perform.
Itti,
thus.
Kechana,
others. So it's very interesting how this Sanskrit verse is composed. Because the first line, Bhaveshmin Klishyamanani, it talks about the sufferings of others. But what is the suffering? That's in the next line. Avidya, ignorance, kama, desires, and kama bi, actions. That's what they're suffering from, the conditioned soul. What's the solution? Shravana Smaranarhani. So nice. Anyway, here's the translation. And yet, by Srila Prabhupada, Hare Krishna. And yet others say, this is Kunti speaking, she's saying, and yet others say that you appear to rejuvenate the devotional service of hearing, remembering, worshipping, and so on in order that the conditioned souls suffering from material pangs might take advantage and gain liberation. One more time. And yet others say that you appear to rejuvenate the devotional service of hearing, remembering, worshipping, and so on, in order that the conditioned soul suffering from what? Avidya, kama, karma, bi. They're suffering from ignorance, their material desires, and because of material desires, then they act for sense gratification, and then they get the reaction, and that's how they're suffering. Suffering from material pains might take advantage. What are they going to take advantage of? The process of hearing and chanting and remembering the Lord, rejuvenating the process of devotional service. And what are they going to get? Pure devotional service. Liberation is insignificant, but it's a byproduct. It's there. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Actually, I think I'll go. Oma vinatimirandasya jinajina silakaya chakshur umilitam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master very kindly forced open my eyes, which were glued shut because of what? Avidya, karma, and karma be. But he forced open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge, and that torchlight of knowledge was able to dissolve the glue, the glue of ignorance on my eyes. It made them stay shut, ignorantly trying to act in the material world. Trying and trying and trying and trying to be happy.
not quite making it. Okay, purport. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada gave a lecture on this verse many times, and he just spoke on the very, very basic principles. It was so interesting. Okay, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Lord asserts that he appears in every millennium just to reestablish the way of religion. Oh, I said that wrong. Did you notice that? It's the Bhagavad Gita. Srimad Bhagavad Gita, the Lord asserts that he appears in every millennium just to reestablish the way of religion. The way of religion is made by the Supreme Lord. No one can manufacture a new path of religion, as is the fashion for certain ambitious persons. The factual way of religion is to accept the Lord as the supreme authority and thus render service unto him in spontaneous love. A living being cannot help but render service because he is constitutionally made for that purpose. So that's a very important understanding, that the living entities, they're constitutionally made to render service. We're part of the Supreme Lord. We're insignificant part of the Supreme Lord. And he's the supreme whole, the most opulent maintainer, creator, and loving friend of every living entity. So it's our constitutional position. So when you think of what does that mean? So I thought of a silly example, but I think it makes the point. So if you buy a refrigerator, what's its constitutional position? It's wired to what? Cool the food. Cool it and freeze it and keep it quote-unquote fresh. So you can have food in your refrigerator for weeks, and if it's at the right temperature and if it's working properly, it's going to keep your food preserved. But if you're thinking that your refrigerator is going to heat your food, there's a misconception. If you've got your refrigerator to toast your toast, it's not going to work. You're going to put your toast in there, it'll dry out, right? But it won't toast. So because why? Because it's wired in a certain way. So the living entities, we're wired in a certain way. That's who we are. Prabhupada gives a traditional example of fingers and hands and attached to the body, and because they're attached to the body, they work. When they're detached from the body, they don't work. So that's the traditional example that's given. But there's so many examples that you can think to round out the understanding. This is who we are. And so the living entity, many living entities might think, I don't want to render service to God. They might not even be thinking of God, but it doesn't mean that they're not rendering service. They're rendering service to their family, to their friends, to their pets, to their bosses, to the political situation, to whatever. They're rendering service in so many ways. And if they think that they're in a position that they don't need to render service, then they're an illusion, and they get into different difficulties. You know, we won't go there. But okay, so Srila Prabhupada continues to say, the only function of the living being is to render service to the Lord. So when the living entity is put in his proper place, so to speak, understanding, it's an understanding, put in the proper understanding that this is who I am. I'm a servant of the Lord. Now, we see, what do we see? Even just in this room with the wonderful devotees that are here, so many different personalities and different inclinations. Somebody's very artistic. Somebody's very intelligent. Some of us have Shruti jars, but they're in the back room over there by the computer. But and some people are not so inclined in any of those ways. They're just very simple and humble and, you know, just want to do something to help. So it doesn't matter what your quote-unquote mentality or capacity or intellectual capacity. It doesn't matter. That's not what the point is. The point is that whatever we have, whatever our inclinations are, it's really hard to breathe through these masks. Have you noticed that? Okay, sorry.
You don't have to wear a turban over your
shoulder. I'm a surrendered soul. Ha ha ha, only because you're looking at me. Okay. It doesn't matter who we are or what our inclinations are or what our talents are or whatever, but you take it and you use it in Krishna's service. If a person might be inclined to grow food, or work with cows, or whatever. Take that and use it. And they're an exalted personality. It's not that the person who the most intelligent, like the most intelligent person, or the, like Srila Prabhupada gives the example of the, on the altar, the person who's worshiping the deity and the person who's washing the temple room floor, they're equal in the Lord's mind. The service is different and has different requisites and whatever, yeah, it has different standards. And if you can render service on the altar, that's wonderful. If you don't render service on the altar, there's still service that you can render. And it's still equal. Who can think of there's probably millions, but think of a classic example of how Krishna sees service equal.
Hanuman and the spider.
Hanuman and the spider. Yeah, so the Lord... So Hanuman and the monkeys and the varnas are throwing big, huge boulders, I mean, you know, into the water, and they're floating by the potency of Lord Ram. And the little spider's just doing his part. So you might say, well, volume-wise and quantity-wise, the boulders are much more valuable, so it's really important that the monkeys are there throwing those stones into the water. But Lord Ram doesn't see it like that, and even... I can guarantee that even if only it was squirrels and chipmunks making that bridge, the Lord would make an arrangement that it would be a bridge and they could cross on it. You know, the point is that you take what you have and you offer it to Krishna, and then you'll be satisfied. You are all, then we'll be satisfied. And until we rewire ourselves, recondition ourselves, or go back to our original wiring of servant of the Lord, there'll be always dissatisfaction. To the amount of what we hold back, that's the amount of dissatisfaction we'll feel in our life. That's a scary thought. Okay, sorry. The Lord is great, and the living beings are subordinate to him. Therefore, the duty of the living being is just to serve him only. Unfortunately, the illusioned living beings, out of misunderstanding only, become servants of the senses by material desire. This desire is called avidya, or neshin. And out of such a desire, the living entity makes different plans for material enjoyment centered about perverted sex life. He therefore becomes entangled in the chain of birth and death by transmigrating into different bodies on different planets under the direction of the Supreme Lord. Unless, therefore, one is beyond the boundary of this nescience, one cannot get free from the threefold miseries of material life. That's the law. That's the law of nature. So we have so many laws in the material world, you know, society, what do you call that? Driving, so many things, there's so many laws. And there are some laws that you can break and not get caught, you know, there are. Perhaps you can not fully stop at the stop sign and take your turn, or you could, you know, whatever. But the laws of the Lord, and you don't get caught and you think, oh, that was cool. Or perhaps you could think, a little kid, you see this happen a lot, little children when they're in the stores, they don't quite get total concept of stores and purchases and stuff, so they take the candy bar. And sometimes they have the concept that they're not supposed to take it, and they still take it, and they hide it, and they get away with it, and they think, ooh, that was a thrill. But the problem, we might be able to transgress the laws of the country of the nation or material world to some extent, or it appears that we transgress it and don't get caught. But the laws of the Lord, there's no way that one can be free from the reaction. Krishna's where? He's outside. Where else is he? He's inside. Where else is he? He's in every living entity. Where else is he? He's everywhere. Now, he's not the one that's there looking, oh, that person just isn't. He has his agents, millions of hands, millions of eyes, millions of ears all around the place. He has his agents. That calculate, that watch the activities of the living entity, and all of that's recorded, and one has to pay the price for the transgression of those laws. So in that class that I heard that Srila Prabhupada gave on this verse, he primarily focused on this point of avidya, kama, and karma be, of ignorance, material desire, and then material action. So that's really nicely explained in Nectar Devotion, in the first chapter of Nectar Devotion, the chapter that explains about the characteristics of pure devotional service. And in the first characteristic of pure devotional service, in there, there's this explanation of why is it that a living entity commits sinful activities. They commit it because of ignorance. Because of ignorance of not knowing who they are, not knowing the result of what's going to happen. And so the ignorance, avidya's there. That's the reason that people commit sinful activities. So in order to eradicate sinful activities, in order to eradicate sinful activities, the ignorance has to be destroyed. And this is what the process of devotional service does. It's so complete, just like in the verses that we recited before we started class, that the process of devotional service removes practically to nil all the abhadras, all the inauspicious things within the heart, and establishes pure devotion within the heart and the desire for pure devotion within the heart. And that desire, sprouting desire for pure devotion, for loving service unto the Lord, that is what? Param drishtva nivartate, the higher taste that one experiences, so that one doesn't is not inclined to pursue a lower taste. So it's all in sync. It's all succinctly, scientifically explained. So avidya, because there's an ignorance, and even you think, why is there ignorance? If the living entity is a pure spirit soul, why is there ignorance? Well, there's ignorance can... ignorant desires can manifest because the living entity is minute. We're part and parcel of the Lord, but we're minute, so there's a tendency to make mistakes. Oh, that reminds me of the four defects. We'll get to them in a minute. And then because of ignorance, then what happens? A bija, a seed sprouts. Now, we've heard of bija in different ways, the seed of devotional service, but this bija is the seed of desire for sinful activities. It sprouts. So when that desire sprouts, by contemplating that desire, then what happens? Then one acts on it. Then karma comes. Then the reaction, because you have the thought, you have the desire, and the desire leads to action, and action leads to what? Reaction. And the reaction, as explained in the Padma Purana, the reaction is twofold. There's and it's usually not immediate, which is a trick. It's Krishna's divine trick, material nature's trick. Because if the reaction would come immediately, just like when you touch the fan, the moving fan with your fingers, you do that and you think, ooh! Well, you do that once, it's not very often, you have to do it twice. You knew it once and you know you're not going to do it. Or you touch the electric cord that's not grounded or whatever, you do that once. And so sometimes the action comes quickly, but oftentimes there's a space. There's a space because Krishna wants us to love him out of our own volition, of free will, not because of fear of sinful, the pain. But anyway, even if it happens because of fear, that's okay. But reaction, yeah. So the reaction is often comes in the future, and it's either an emotional or a physical suffering. But then there's another reaction. The other reaction is, again, another desire to do it again. And this what it means. The entanglement of fruit of activities. Prabhupada used that word somewhere in this purport. the nescience of the entanglement of fruitive activities. It's entangling because every time we do something contrary, we get the desire to do it again. That's very entangling. Aside from the reaction you get from doing it to begin with, then you get the desire to do it again, and it's a whole bag of worms, as they would say. Okay, so, kuta. That kuta means the inclination to do the sinful activity again. So that's the cycle of sinful reactions. You know, it goes and goes and entangles us. And there's no way out by working, by karma. There's no way out. Well, I'm going to pay off this debt I owe or this karmic reaction. I'll pay that off, and then I'll be free. No. Because while you're paying off that karmic reaction, you're getting more. So it's in hugely entangling. But the way out is going to be explained. I don't think we got there yet. Okay, so continuing on in the purport. The Lord, however, this is one thing that's so nice about reading Prabhupada's books out loud, because this sentence, it could be easily overlooked. One could read this sentence like, the Lord, however, out of his causeless mercy, because he is more merciful to the suffering living beings than they expect, appears before them and renovates the principles of devotional service comprised of hearing, chanting, remembering, serving, worshiping, and praying, cooperating and surrendering unto him. And then you go on. But if you go, and that's very good. If you slow down and read it, listen to what Prabhupada says here. The Lord, however, out of his causeless mercy. Why? Because he is more merciful to the suffering living beings than they can expect. That is so encouraging, isn't it? Here we are, aspiring devotees, making our endeavor to whatever degree we're able to make our endeavor for making some advancement on the process, on the path of Krishna consciousness. And that path is not always smooth and easy and clear and happy and wonderful. Sometimes there's a few stones or pebbles or potholes or ditches or hidden wells that we fall into. So many things. There's so many obstacles. Our determination is firm and fixed and steady and strong, and then it wavers and, you know, we hardly can get out of bed or whatever. It happens. It's the mode, the material nature always going around. It affects us in so many ways. But we can remember this phrase, this line here, what Prabhupada says here, and take courage from it, that the Lord is more merciful to the suffering living beings than they can expect. Krishna is beyond our expectation merciful to us. And we can see that in so many ways. We can see this in so many ways in our practical life. Just even taking this wonderful situation that we're forced into now with the social distancing and all the other things and so many things. But still, there's so much to take advantage of. So many extra classes to hear. So many, when you do get association with the devotees, whether it's cyber association or what, it's so relishable. So that's Krishna's mercy. We could have had this lockdown before the internet. Ooh, that would be really hard. You know what I mean? But still, there's the lockdown, and then there's, who would ever say this, the life-saving internet, if you use it for your life-saving activities, you know? So Krishna's, but even, that's just one teeny-weeny example, but Krishna's more kind to the living entities than they can expect. Because he appears before them and renovates the principles of devotional service comprised of hearing, chanting, remembering, serving, worshiping, praying, cooperating. That was mentioned in yesterday's class. Cooperating and surrendering unto him. Adoption of all the above-mentioned items or any one of them can help a conditioned soul get out of the tangle of nescience, and thus become liberated from all material sufferings created by the living beings. We created this. That's another thing. It ain't anyone else's fault, just in case you think it is. We created our own pot. And thus become liberated from all material suffrage. I'm going to just read the whole sentence. Adoption of all the above mentioned items, or any one of them, can help a conditioned soul get out of the tangle of nescience and thus become liberated from all material sufferings created by the living being, illusioned by the external energy. And here's another sentence that's also easy to just skip over. This sentence is, you could give, anyway. This particular type of mercy is bestowed upon the living being by the Lord in the form of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is so, that sentence is so full, if you remember, in the beginning of the Bhagavatam. If you remember in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada's introduction to the Srimad Bhagavatam, what does he say in the introduction? He gives a general overview, and then he gives like 30 pages summarizing Lord Chaitanya's life. Why? Because he says that the only way that we're going to be able to understand Lord Chaitanya is understand Srimad Bhagavatam is through the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And that's so amazing. It's just, there's the phrase, the phrase that comes from somewhere, pearls before swine. So you got a bunch of pigs. You got a bunch of dirty little pigs wallowing in their dirty little pig puddles, you know? And and Prabhupada uses the example, gives them halva. Are they interested? Nope. They don't want halva. They want what's in the dirty pig puddle. And that's what we're like. We're in our dirty little pig puddles, happy as anything, trying to act in our little piggy ways. And Lord Chaitanya's come and given us the pearls of devotional service, pure devotional service. And it's so hard. This devotional service is so hard. All you have to do is chant Hare Krishna. All you have to do is take the Lord's holy name, chant Hare Krishna. And it's just like a jumbo jet direct flight to Goloka. You know, it's a direct flight to Goloka. Right? And who ever heard of Goloka Vrindavan before Lord Chaitanya? Who ever heard of Srimati Radharani before Lord Chaitanya? Practically speaking, I do exaggerate, but practically speaking, nobody. Nobody. And somehow or other, Lord Chaitanya appeared just a little while ago and gave this transcendental knowledge and this Maha Mantra that delivers one gradually to higher and higher stages of understanding, all the way back to where? The lotus feet of Srimati Radharani, who's the topmost servitor of the Supreme Lord. It's totally amazing. And it's totally amazing. So this particular theme of Srimati Kunti, expressing what Srimati Kunti is expressing here, when she says, and yet others say that you appear to rejuvenate the devotional service of hearing, remembering, worshipping, and so on, in order that the conditioned soul suffering from material pangs might take advantage and gain liberation. This is also expressed in the 10th canto, in the 8th chapter, in verse 49, by Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda, Drona and Dara, who perform austerities to beget a child. And so the situation is Parikshit Maharaj, Sukadeva Goswami, glorifying Nanda and Yasoda. And he had previously been speaking about Vasudeva and Devaki. So Parikshit Maharaj asked the question, more or less the question is, what's the difference between Nanda and Yasoda and Vasudeva and Devaki? Or what did they do to be elevated to that position? You know, what did they have to do? The acharyas explain his motivation was, he was asking, can the living entity perform a particular type of sadhana and be elevated to the position of Nanda and Yasoda or Vasudeva and Devaki? This came up a little bit towards the end of Madhumati's class. Somebody asked the question that she transcendentally sidestepped and put it on to Pran Govinda, who didn't get a chance to answer it, at least into the microphone, but later. Anyway, so Maharaj Parikshit is asking, what's the difference between Yasoda and Nanda and Yasoda and Vasudeva and Devaki? So in this verse 49, so Drona and Dara, they are the eternal mother and father of Krishna. So they were performing austerities to beget a child. But what did they ask? So they did their austerities for I don't know how many thousands of years, and I don't know what they did. Probably ate just dry leaves. And then when the Lord came before them and asked them, what would you like, what benediction would you like, they said, please permit us to be born on the planet Earth so that after our appearance, the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller and Master of all the planets, will also appear and spread devotional service, the ultimate goal of life, so that those born in this material world may very easily be delivered from the miserable condition of materialistic life by accepting this devotional service. That was their desire. Please let us have the Supreme Personality of Godhead as our child, so that by when he appears on earth, by his activities, so many people will become attracted, and by their attraction to him and his activities, they'll take up the process of devotional service, and they'll get liberated. Because nobody can get out of the conditions of material life unless they take to the process of devotional service. So many other processes of yoga are there. They elevate one, you get gradually elevated, up, 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 up. Jnanis go up, up, up. But they don't get out of the material world unless there's bhakti, unless they take to bhakti, unless bhakti, pure devotional service sprouts in their heart. Hare Krishna. I just lost all my thoughts, just went out the door there, so time for discussion. Any questions or comments or clarifications or whatever's?
One book, Dhruva Maharaj Prabhu, he has a recorded, he records in MP3.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember 16 years back he gave me a Gurgunda Maharaj's embankment of separation.
Uh-huh. I have that too.
Thank you. So according to that book,
Just one clarification, Embankment of Separation, as you well know, is written by Gaur Govinda Maharaj. Go ahead.
It's not that all the incarnation has a parents. There is a desire created by Prahlad Maharaj to Nrisimhadev to cherish what Prahlad is relating.
Uh-huh.
And that was the beginning. And then I found Jiva Goswami Pad actually said, Nrisimhadev is worshipped by our Guru Parampara. But we don't worship all the incarnation. We respect, but like Matsavatar, you don't see a temple that Hare Krishna worshipping or Hayagriva. Because they did not have, until Nrisimhadev, no incarnation had a parents. Varahadev came out from the nose, but nobody calls, no Acharya calls Brahmaji as a father, even though it came from his body in a sense. So that's one way to look at it, that how the parents or friends, all this Rasa started. And another way to look at it also, in Bhagavad Gita 4.8, in the purport, Prabhupada writes, if you have Bhagavad Gita there, Srishti had to say, those verses are there, very sweet, that all this incarnation has an origin in Vaikuntha. They are not here manifested. So that idea was also floating. One devotee asked me after the class that, so when they go back, they become Krishna and they come here and they take different form. That's not true. All these forms, species, has an origin. In the purport, there is a person, maybe you can read.
If it's the right part in the purport, it says the avatar or incarnation. This is
yes.
Bhagavad Gita 4.8, Paritranaya Sadhanam, in the Purport Prabhupada says, the avatar or incarnation of Godhead descends from the kingdom of God, right there, okay, for material manifestation. And the particular form of the personality of Godhead who descends is called an incarnation of avatar. Such incarnations are situated in the spiritual world, the kingdom of God. When they descend to the material creation, they assume the name avatar. It's a long purport. You want me to read that?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
But I remember also...
They have their planets in Vaikuntha. Is that what you're referring to? They
go, right. Also in Prabhupada mentioned in 5th canto, the last verse, after that Prabhupada put Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur, what is the word called? Anyway, the BBT publication has this, like a kind of a summary. And there it says that the Mohini and Rishabdev, there is no information. So I don't know what is that means. It means no information, I guess. Their service in spiritual world.
They have
so if somebody worships Rishabdev and Mohini thinking like Krishna, but there is no record that actually you will be able to enter in spiritual world to serve them. But did Madhvacharya explain that about Mohini? Yes, it's in the Mahakalapuram, where Lord Shiva, the female form is the highest form to be worshipped in the material world, and that's why the Lord's form, Mohini Murti, is worshipped by the Maya Devi herself with her husband in the Mahakalapuram, the last layer of this universe.
So
it's
the highest form?
It's the female form.
Like Radharani?
Yeah, but Radharani is not worshipped, is worshipped by the devotees. But the highest form of Krishna is Mohini, female form in this material world. There is no record that in spiritual Vaikuntha they have a form.
Thanks for all that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe you are worshipping. I didn't know that.
Prabhupada, does that answer Kishore's question?
Yeah.
Okay, so I was, another thing that I was thinking of, just a point that I wanted to make, this, we're fortunate to hear this information, we're fortunate to hear this information from the great acharyas. This is called the path of Avaroha Panta. I thought of that when we were reading about the avatars. Avaroha Panta, it's perfect knowledge. Descending, it's perfect knowledge descending from the acharyas, one after the other, passed down. So that what we're getting, even though we're so limited, actually I'll have to make a confession that for the whole week up until yesterday, I thought the verse that I was going to speak on was 34. And not till I heard Puran Govinda speaking on my verse that I realized, oh, I'm on 35. But anyway, 34 talks about... okay. 34 talks about the Vishnus, Garbhadakshay, Kiradakshay Vishnu, Garbhadakshay Vishnu, and you know that body of knowledge is difficult to comprehend. Easy to read and hear about, but it's difficult to comprehend. So I was thinking how this is perfect knowledge, even though it's way beyond our ability to understand. It's there, complete.
I cannot see the internet.
The gratitude. As the gratitude to associate through this devotional service with everything there, all the programs and the beautiful devotees cannot fully express. This is Dina Dwarka Lila, who every day at this devotee, Dina Dwarka Lila Sakas, every day she logs on at the greeting of deities and offers some pranams and some flowers to the deities on the internet every day. Hi, Baldina, Rakalila, I mean. So Varuna Prabhu has a comment. This is my doubt that comes from time to time. You are talking about these grace personalities of Mother Kunti. Sometimes I think that these personalities are real. Or are they still relevant in our lives in Kali Yuga. Sometimes these personalities are very real. Maybe he's not expressing it, or maybe I'm not understanding his total, what he desires to express. But yes, Srimati Kunti Devi is very real, and they are very relevant in our lives in Kali Yuga. One thing that's interesting, Varuna Prabhu and everybody, is just like what is this series of verses here? A series of verses. Srimati Kunti Devi said, "You incarnated for this reason," and some people say you incarnated to please King Yadu, and some people say you incarnated to do this, and some people say you incarnated for that. None of those reasons are wrong. They're all correct. That was also mentioned yesterday. They're all true. And there's different degrees of understanding. And then this, now where she's culminating, now she's coming to the end of her series of prayers. There's a couple more verses of her prayers. But this is the higher understanding. And this understanding that Krishna appeared to rejuvenate devotional service encompasses all the other reasons also. So one point that I would like to, that I'm trying to make with this is that, one point, is there a variety? There's varieties in the spiritual world. We're not all cookie cutter devotees. Everybody has to feel this way or act this way or do this particular type of service. There's varieties. One thing in the different stories of in the Bhagavatam, just like of course, right now I can't think of an example, but maybe you'll think of an example. Okay, like Sita. When Mother Sita Devi was under the Ashok tree and wondering why Lord Ram hadn't come to rescue her yet, she says, "Maybe he's found some other woman." Oh, no, that couldn't happen. "Maybe he's given up his love for me." Oh, no, that couldn't happen. "Oh, maybe this, or maybe that." And I just really love hearing that because it, when I get on the mental platform, I see that, okay, there's a mental platform. It exists. And you go through it, you work your way through it, and you come to the conclusion. Then she comes, no. It must be that he just doesn't know where I am just yet. And how could he not know where she is? Because he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But anyway, that's another question that Pran Govinda will answer in his spare time. But the point is that all different varieties exist. Strong desires to do devotional service exist. And also it happens that we get waylaid a little bit. And there's stories of that in the Bhagavatam. And why is it there? To encourage us. To encourage us to just hang in there and go on and reach for the highest. Finish. I think that's all. Yeah. Okay. Jai Shri Jai Madhumati. Yes.
I was just thinking about, you were talking about Sita. I thought about Akrura. When he goes to Vrindavan and how describes how his mind is thinking, how is Krishna going to take me, you know. Yeah, so he's on the mental platform there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's another thing to add about Akrura. Mm. Now, Akrura wasn't the gopi's favorite personality, was he?
No.
No. But what is he mentioned? How is he mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam? He reaches perfection. Akrura is given example as an example of somebody who reaches perfection by offering prayers. So he's not the gopi's favorite personality, and he's an exalted devotee. It's wonderful, isn't it? Hare Krishna. Give your food for thought. Yeah. And so that's similar. It has nothing to do with it, but somehow or other, I thought of Maharaj Katvanga. Was it? No. Mukunda Mala Stotra, who's that? Who wrote Mukunda Mala Stotra, Pran Govinda? Kulachekar. Thanks. Kulachekar Maharaj. "May the swan of my mind become entangled in the lotus stems of your lotus feet." because when the lotuses grow together in a bunch there, it gets all entangled. So our mind can become entangled in thinking of things like this. Kuru was on the, you know, Kuru was, no, in my words, not in any way to be disrespectful. He was on the mental, thinking of various different types of, yeah. We get entangled in trying to understand Krishna and the devotees. And Madhurya Leela very kindly points out that I didn't finish telling about the difference between Nanda and Yasoda and Devaki and Vasudeva. Thanks for the reminder. Yes, so Nanda and Yasoda's prayer was there. We want to, you know, as in the form of Drona and Dari, we want the Lord to take birth in our family so that he can revive devotional service and everyone can be benefited. Vasudeva and Devaki's prayer was, we want a child like you. And Krishna says, well, that's interesting. But since there's nobody like me, then I'll take birth as your son. So it was a different, it was a pure desire, but it was a different level of purity. That was the point. That Drona and Dara's desire was much more exalted and elevated for the benefit of others. Hari Bol, Jai Shri Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srimati Kunti Devi Maharani Ki Jai. Gopremanandi Hari Hari Bol. In a transcendental sense, Krishna is not always the gopi's favorite. Oh, okay. In a transcendental sense, Krishna is not always the gopi's favorite personality either, in situations such as the toll pastime and the story of the pearl garden. That's a comment, not a question. Yes, and it's in the transcendental sense, because, and that's what endears the gopis even more and more to Krishna. Because when they, because he says, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, first chapter, when the Krishnadas Kaviraj Prabhu is explaining about the why the Lord comes, he says, Jai Srila Prabhupada, he says that if somebody treats me with awe and reverence, I get pleasure out of that. Not that I don't get pleasure out of that, but out of pure love, if somebody chastises me or thinks they're even better or stronger than me, then that gives me even more pleasure. So much so that it steals my mind from the heart, from those prayers that are offered by those in loving awe and reverence. So Krishna, and that's what Krishna is, what is it? Shekha, Rasa. Anyways, Akila Rasamrita Murti and Rasheshti Rasheka, what's the word? Is that right? Something close to that. He loves those transcendental rasas. Hare Krishna. Thanks for your comment. Thanks for the talk.